You know, originally Kit was going to speak today, and I was going to be not here today. And we enjoy sharing the platform so much together that we decided I'd go ahead and speak, and she'd play, because the other way around wouldn't work. And it's not something you'd ever want to hear. So we have our gifts, and so I'm so grateful that she can run around the piano and do the gathering prayer and run back and sing a holy song, and I get to share that with her. Thank you, Kit. It's hot out there, kids. Be careful. Be real careful. The heat index today is going to be stupid hot. Hotter than it ought to be right now. But how many times in June do we say that? Oh, it's way too hot for this early. After all these years, I just should quit saying that. I have a fun story for you. Earlier this week, I met with a couple that I'm about to wed in a little under 2 weeks. And I went through the long years that she cared for her husband with Alzheimer's. And then when he passed, I was privileged to do his memorial service. And then I got this just glorious email from her a few months ago that she'd found her childhood sweetheart, like from when she was 15. And his wife had passed about 14 months before her husband did. They had kind of stayed in touch off and on intermittently and got back together with each other just to say hi, I think in January. And they're getting married on the 22nd. And she's 83, and he's 85. And they are so dang happy. I mean, she looks about 15 years younger than the last time I saw her. So let me just tell you, the numbers mean nothing. Most of you know this already, but I'm just reaffirming. Numbers mean nothing when it comes to your age. It's all about what your focus is on, where your thoughts are going, what's important to you, and whether or not you're willing to keep on growing through your life. Whether or not you're open to opportunities that will allow you to expand yourself, to open once again like a flower blooming on this earth over and over and over again. If you feel like you haven't bloomed lately, listen carefully today, because that's what we're about. I've said it to you before, and I'll say it again. There's not a place that we get to where we were done. Because when we get to the place where we're done, then we leave the earth from this body. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not like, whew, as soon as I get this piece of my spiritual growth out of the way, I'll have made it. Yeah, you'll have made it to that point. And then there's another one and another one. So last week I talked to you about how we can be in community with each other. And I talked, remember I quoted from the Air Force Leadership Manual, 1948, about the qualities that are in there for leadership and for working with others and being with others. So I'm just carrying that on a little bit farther today. And I'm gonna lay some Bible on you. Not quite sure. Well, there's one. That's, That's good. Okay, let's see if I can manage microphone, plumeria. Where are you, Kemp? Thank you for putting that on my chair. I appreciate it. Oh, by the way, I hear about this Polynesian dinner. I hear things about a pig. Or as Betty says, porkness. There have been rumors about, you know, flaming things that people are going to be twirling. I don't think, know that that's true, but you might want to show up just in case. So what I'm going to read to you today is something from the early churches. It's a good place for us to look at how people were with each other when they were first discovering this miraculous, incredible, life-changing message that Jesus Christ had left. And of course, one of the biggest proponents of seeding and planting these new churches was Paul, because he'd been smacked upside the head on the road to Damascus from being somebody who persecuted Christians to somebody who had an experience with the ethereal presence of the Christ and decided he wanted to live a different way. And so there's nothing like a convert, you know. They will tell you about it. And that's what Paul did. And so he started little churches all over that region. He went to prison because of talking about Christianity, talking about the teachings of Jesus too much. And so he spent some time in prison in various places and was joyful during the time he spent while he was incarcerated. So one of the little churches that he started was in a town called Philippi, which is in current day, well, ancient day, Macedonia. It was a town that the Romans had taken as part of their empire. And it stood upon some ancient Hellenistic shrine. So it had been a shrine for the Greeks, and then the Romans took it, and then there was a new Christian church. So there are multiple messages here. And the one that I'm just going to throw at you right away is that you can always build something new upon your old life. That's not a very far metaphysical stretch for you to take, is it? You know, we always look at what the meaning is underneath a thing. And so if we're looking at a new church built upon a Roman city that was once a Greek shrine, then we can look at how many ways we can build upon the life we've had before. You see, how many of you have some ruins in your past? There's even a phrase in certain circles about the wreckage of the past. Yes. So we all have a chance to build something new. So this was a little church that that Paul was trying to encourage, because they'd come under a lot of heat from the locals for being a Christian church. So Paul was sending them some encouragement. And this is some of the sweetest things. This is one of the sweetest passages that Paul sent in his letters. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, notice that he says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He didn't get stuck on the supplication part, which would be like begging. He was like, give thanks already. No matter what it is you're praying about, give thanks already. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus? Right in here. It's the living Christ Spirit in us, the anointed, the sacred. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's see. He goes on to say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he gave them a roadmap. He gave them a roadmap of how to think. Think on these things, he said. So let me just give you a reminder. We are about some pretty intense spiritual growth here, especially those of you who are participating in classes, those of you who give of your time, talent, and treasure. You are fully engaging in your spiritual growth. And let me tell you that every time you learn something new, there will be something old that comes up to say, are you sure? Every time you experience a moment of joyful insight, there will be some little old part of you that will say, really? Are you sure? You've always done things this way. Don't you have those little voices? Do you, the little arguments with yourself? Have you ever had a big breakthrough on something and then everything else in your life kind of falls to pieces? It's the way of things, my friends. It's the micro and the macro. It is the way we begin to move things along in our lives. So let me tell you, when you start thinking upon these things, expect the opposite to show up as well. But be not afraid. Because the spirit that already lives in you will reinforce those things that are the good attributes that we want to think upon. So don't be afraid if the other stuff comes up. It's natural. And don't try to think it away. My teachers always called that stinking thinking. Trying to think something away is like trying to solve the problem from the same place from which the problem originated. Gets you nowhere. So when you think upon these things, did I see somebody want to ask me a question? Okay. Sorry. Can't take the teacher out of the girl. So when you come up against the opposition, and usually the opposition is an internal job. It's more an internal job than an external job. And it may show up in your family and in the people around you, but the way you respond to that is all in here. That's all in here. So when Paul was giving these instructions, he was saying, this is how you live in the face of opposition. This is how you continue to have joy in the mind of Christ. So let's go over these again. True, things that are true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. Anything that is of excellence, anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. Gosh, if we could do that, we wouldn't have much room for anything else, would we? But let me tell you, and you know that I speak to you about things I need to learn myself. You understand that, don't you? I'm not up here with answers. I'm up here just to speak for all of us exploring. So after I put all this together, guess what came up for me? I was so happy. I had everything all planned out for today. And then I was flooded with stuff that I realized I needed to do my own little inventory about anger and resentment. Dang it all. It's the truth, because those things don't have, there's no room for them anymore. There's no room for those things, because if I think on things that are true and just and joyful, then all the rest of that has to be moved on. That's part of our spiritual work. So we have this handful of joy, this handful of stuff that we need to let go of. All the time, filling up with joy, filling up with joy, filling up with joy. How are you doing with that so far? Are you breathing right now? Because I think I felt a collective holding of breath. So go ahead and just breathe through this. Yeah. Woo, fun. But do you see, Paul gave these words to people 2,000 years ago. Pretty timeless. The challenges that those folks have are the challenges that we have today. Because humans are humans, throughout time. And so why not listen to the good teachers? And I don't always agree with Paul. Sometimes I kind of want to smack Paul. But that's my problem. But if they were experiencing these things and we're experiencing these things, then there is a common answer for us. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We kind of get stuck on the peace of God, and we miss the surpasses all understanding, because we're always trying to figure it out. We're always trying to figure it all out. And again, my friends, let me just offer to you that sometimes the best thing you can do when you get stuck in your head is to start working with your body temple. Is to start breathing and breathing and stretching yourself out. Getting your feet on the floor, like Kit said a moment ago, where you feel grounded in spirit, grounded to the earth. Go outside and listen to a bird, and then run right back in because it's hot. Do something to get yourself out of your head. Your head knows how to serve you when it's time for it to serve you. You've got a brain up there for a reason. But in certain matters, the important matters of our lives, sometimes our thinking is not enough. Most of the time, our thinking is not enough. We begin to do these things: true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, and we begin to form new neural pathways in our brains to start replacing that path that the wreckage has left. Which would you rather engage with? You can keep on playing in that old sandbox if you want to. I just thought of a really bad joke, but I'm not gonna share it with you at this time. I'll talk to you afterwards. Well, has anybody ever had a sandbox and a cat? I'm just saying. Paul also says, he's talking about when you pray, I'm not referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with what I have. Kit talked about this in her class on Wednesday night when we were talking. She was talking about gratitude being an important part of our prayer process. And so he was saying, focus on that as well. Focus upon your gratitude. Be content with what you have. And watch the world open up for all the other things that will shower themselves upon you. Be grateful for what you have. Do you know, I want to just share something with you. Do you know that you're sitting here today receiving just some excellent, I think, an excellent program of of music and message of children who are joyfully making tacos and serving them to you. One of the girls just literally, she did a Tigger over to me when I got here today because she was so excited to tell me something. She bounced all the way over to where I was. Happy, happy girl. That makes me happy. But we have a very small percentage of the families in this community that are providing the majority of the income for this community. So all of you can say thank you for those people who are doing that to keep the doors open and the air conditioning running and, you know, so that Kit and I can be here with you and all the other things that go on here. So be grateful for what you have in all areas of your life. In all areas of your life, be grateful. So there. I noticed today, I apparently have driven in behind Sharon and Carl Ryan, maybe a little too close to your rear bumper. I'm so sorry. Because when I'm coming to church on Sunday mornings, I've got like 1 foot out, you know, pushing myself along. Usually because by the time I get to where I'm catching up with y'all, I've hit, you know, 14 lights coming out of Austin. I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to start changing my thinking. You know, it's going to have to be a conscious effort on my part. But I'm giving you a positive example here. I am grateful that I have a zippy little car. I am grateful, so grateful, that I have a beautiful drive here. It's beautiful. I am grateful that on my beautiful drive, I'm arriving at this beautiful destination with you beautiful people. Beautiful people. Beautiful people. All of you. And for that, I can slow my roll to get here. Because I have a feeling that when I do that, I'll get here faster than I would if I were anxious. I wonder if there's anywhere else in our life we can arrive at where we want to be a little quicker when we're less anxious. When we're less fearful. When we're less resentful. When we're less angry. When we're less self-pitying. Because we're going to think on these things. Think on the things that are true. There's only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Say that one over and over on the days when you think that there are all kinds of other forces that are working on you, because there's only one presence and one power in the universe and in your life. That's a true right there that you can hold on to. What's pure? What is worthy of praise? What is just? Think on these things. He said, think on these things. So let's take it inside. Take a little journey back for a minute to the days when you first discovered that you were consciously on your spiritual path. And everything was new and exciting, and you saw everything with a nice rosy glow of pink around it. And then life showed up again. It made you wonder if this new path you were following was the right one, if it was really true, if it really meant something. Were you fooling yourself? And then bring yourself into this day. Some of you, for many, many years on the path of truth for your life, some of you still in those early and exciting days. But I say to you, my friends, that no matter how long or how short your journey has been on this path, the Spirit of Truth is the same. The Christ spirit of knowing will always, always serve you. When your mind starts its journey down that negative path, that path of worry, path of resentment, the path of fear, gently think upon the things that we've talked about today. Look for the good. Because it's all holy. It's all holy. It is all holy. We've lost the privilege of saying, oh, this is holy and this isn't. Because what has changed is our view. So for a moment, just breathe into your heart of truth that knows beyond your thinking, that knows beyond your doubts, that knows beyond your fears, that knows beyond your tears. And dwell in that place for a moment. Drink deeply of that life-giving water. Your God is bigger than your skepticism, your cynicism, your hopelessness. Your God is bigger. And now breathe in the peace that passes all understanding. The peace we cannot explain, and yet it is ours. So let all things be made new today. A fresh start, hopefulness, goodness, joy. For all is well. All is well, beloved. And all is well. And so it is. Amen.